Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are made available absolutely free by Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the link in the upper left-hand corner of the page that says Start Here, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect in my life for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional state I experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. And that also on that website you can just click and download. It's a simple PDF file download. The actual worksheet process itself, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. It's absolutely free. No need to sign up for a mailing list or give them any info. Just click and download. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that actual tool. And some of those audio files that have been curated out by Jeannie Rice are testimonials that people have called in to give about how the powerful, positive effects of actually applying that tool in their life have been accruing or adding up. So that list of audio files can serve as a tutorial for you if you listen to them repeatedly, and you can learn to master this tool and continually improve the benefits you get from applying it in your life. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and you'll be able to get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often because it usually provokes comments, questions, stimulates comments or questions or testimonials. And if you have any of that, you can call us at 563-999-3581. When you call that number and press 1, it will put a little question mark by your phone number, and I will announce you by your area code, and we can have a conversation. We've also agreed to do the Course in Miracles lessons from the workbook this year, and that puts us on the 209th day of the year, and today continues the review. Lesson 209 is a review of lesson 189, and lesson 189 reads, I feel the love of God within me now. We are asked to remind ourselves at the beginning and end of each lesson for this review. I am not a body. I am free, and I am as the Creator created me. And as we remind ourselves of that, the commentary for this lesson, as brief as it is, I feel the love of God within me now. The love of God is what created me. The love of the Creator is everything I am. The love of the Creator proclaimed me as its offspring. And the love of creation within me sets me free. I am not a body. I am free, for I am as the Creator created me. That's the lesson for today. We're also doing the Course in Miracles experiment lessons from Pam Grout's book, The Course in Miracles Experiment, and her chapter 209 is titled, Reality is Up for Grabs. There's a Zen saying that says, a good doctor can cure your disease. Only a great doctor proves you were never sick. Pam writes, when my friend Jennifer was coming off hip surgery, she focused not on the pain and not on the inconvenience, but she focused on the fact that every single day her body creates 500 million new cells. With all those new cells, and yes, my body generates that many too, so does yours, there's absolutely no reason I have to be the same today as I was yesterday. The real question is, what do I choose to communicate to those new cells? The options, according to her friend Jen, were welcome to pain and misery, or welcome to the party of vim, vigor, and vitality. I couldn't say for sure, but I thought that Jen looked at least 5 years younger. Speaking of the pharmacopoeia in your mind, here's another miracle story from a reader named Kelly. Kelly writes, my body gives me the hard proof that law of attraction principles are real and absolute. Not only do I bless my food, I bless my body. I have a daily ritual where I look in the mirror and say, I love you. You are so beautiful. Thank you. And then I hug myself and I talk to every single cell saying, thank you, cells. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I started this when I realized that each of us is our own personal universe commanding all these cells. Essentially, what we speak, what we believe, they act as God or creator to those cells. When I first started this practice many years ago, the excess weight I had been carrying melted off. People asked me what I was doing, and I would give them the utterly confusing answer, quote, just loving myself, close quote. Well, that's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear 60 minutes of cardio every day, followed by juice fasts and eating only cabbage. Should we tell them, Kelly, about lesson 209, about how love sets us free? So, that's lesson 209. I feel the love of creation in me now. And it's also the Course in Miracles experiment lesson 209 from Pam Grout. So we have 50 minutes left, plenty of time for a comment or question. 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. We had a support group last night. We had a couple brave souls that joined us. And we just had conversation and discussing various people's issues, and then I did a worksheet. Now, I mentioned, I believe, earlier in the week that I got an email over the weekend, and the interpretation I placed on the email resonated a lot of anger, rage, the actual word I used for the worksheet process. And I knew that I shouldn't respond to the email until after I had dismantled the rage or at least calmed down. So I didn't. I waited until the next day to respond, and I was able to use some EFT tapping and get myself in a better mindset. And then I responded to the email in what I would consider was a very calm and professional manner, very matter-of-fact, to the point. And I also knew that that wouldn't be the end of the story for me unless I figured out which tools I was going to use to access and dismantle either the hurt or the fear or the sadness that my rage was hiding from me. So last night I mentioned that I had a worksheet that I could do, and we had some discussion, and then eventually somebody said, okay, Tim, do that worksheet. So I did the worksheet last night on the idea of rage coming up when I simply read an email. And it wasn't an attack email. It wasn't directly overtly attacking. It was an email that was indicating that I had made a misstep professionally. So here's the worksheet, since no one has a hand up, no comments in the chat room. The worksheet is the premise: my essential nature, my human life, my very being is this energy of love and creation. The goal of this worksheet process is to empower me to remove whatever fear and or hostility-based realities are blocking my view of that truth and return me to my ability to have the direct experience of myself as the energy of creation expressing in form 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year round. So I, Tim, who am this energy of love, I'm experiencing the emotion of rage, righteous indignation and rage. My upset level at the beginning of the worksheet, I rated it at an 8. It was very intense, but it wasn't so intense that I acted from it. So I wouldn't put it at a 9 or a 10, where I got so triggered that I responded in anger and then I had to, you know, withdraw. So it's an 8 out of 10 intensity in anger. And the worksheet reminds me that any hostility or fear come from internal corrupt data and indicate my mind's use of sustained incoherence. Now, sustained incoherence means doing the same thing over and over again without getting the results I want, but continuing that process. So I'm using a very ineffectual process called sustained incoherence to build an internal construct that validates or rationalizes my rage. When I'm in denial about how I create my own emotions, my brain, my carbon-based memory, is caused to displace my experience of myself as love, as this essence of creation. And it tells me the lie that someone or something outside of me is causing my emotions. In this case, it was a person named Sue who sent me an email challenging something I did in my business practice. So the worksheet reminds me to take a breath and remember that if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. And it reminds me of this wonderful probing question. If Sue is the one with the problem, why am I the one with this rage and this pain? And then the next step of the email or of this worksheet asks me to specify my thoughts. It says, the truth is, only my thoughts cause my emotional upset. So the thought that I'm using for this worksheet to cause rage is, she's nitpicking and doesn't trust me. The punishment thought that the worksheet asks for is, I wanted to shut her out. And I did not, at this point, have a punishment thought for myself. So the second step in the worksheet asks me to choose love, choose to honor truth, capital T truth, what actually is, and to willingly face and process out all of the dis-ease producing energies for and from all of my relations and all my generations, and asks me to be willing to go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. So I agree to that, take a breath, and then I breathe as I release and surrender myself, my emotion of rage, my trigger 1C, my person, that my mind is telling me is creating my rage, my story about how she's challenging something I did in my business, my thoughts that she's nitpicking and doesn't trust me, and my punishment thought of wanting to shut her out. And I surrender all of that to the energy of love and creation. And then I take a breath. And then I come up with my goal. Here's the thing my mind is telling me has to happen in order for my rage to be quenched. Sue needs to trust me and appreciate all that I do. So that was the goal I came up with after some sorting out of various goals. That was in alignment. If Sue would trust me and appreciate all that I do, I wouldn't be feeling rage. She wouldn't have sent me that email. I wouldn't have the thought that she's nitpicking and doesn't trust me. So then there's a release I'm asked to read. I cancel my need to be right and make up another story out of these brain cells to hallucinate proof that my fear and hostility-based story, that my reality is true. So I breathe through that, put a check mark there. And then I moved to step four, and step four was very easy for me last night. It's I choose love. I choose to focus on my essence as love. And when I do and I focus on that and let that loving energy roll through my heart space, it stirs the love in everyone involved. And so that was fairly easy for me. I would have many, many wonderful things happen this weekend other than that email. And so I breathed and did a little meditation for maybe 30 seconds or a minute, and I felt the shift in my energy away from the rage, the loving energy, and the experience of it vibrating in my heart space. And then I moved on to step five. Step five reads, when I'm upset, my perception is built out of corrupt data, and it's driven by my goal. In this case, my goal was for Sue to trust me and appreciate all that I do. That corrupt data and that goal produce a limiting picture constructed from a maximum of 9 bits of data out of 10,000 brain cells firing. And so by canceling my goal, that replicate mind that just keeps repeating what it's been doing, creating that sustained incoherence, it collapses and gives me direct contact with the part of my mind that's been denied and dissociated, because that part is always projecting and blaming others for its content. So while holding the awareness of love, conscious, active, and present, I choose to collapse my mind's lies by willingly canceling my goal for Sue to trust me and appreciate all I do. I did that, took a breath, and then I moved to 5B, where it says, I invite Ruka Dukucha. Ruka is this elemental force specific to humans that's there to break off the effects of our errors in thought and guide us to truth and happiness if we just ask it to. It's your internal guidance system. It's your insight. It's your intuition. It's your connection to the divine. It's whatever you want to call it. I invite Ruka to incline me toward healing, to restore me to my newborn essence of love, to heal my denial and my capacity to generate my emotion of rage, and to help me open a direct conscious relationship with and gently remove the denied and dissociated parts of my carbon-based memory that had been projected into my mind's image of Sue. So then we stepped into the forgiveness pattern, which is available on the website at mindshiftersacademy.org under the Educational Materials tab. And I do a little meditation where I close my eyes. I choose to put my hand over my heart space, and I repeat. I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet. I put my conscious, logical mind on the shelf, and I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually responsible for the rage that I'm experiencing. And I just breathed, and I trusted that anything that came to mind, any sight, any sound, any smell, any thought, any emotion, any physical sensation, any image from the past would somehow be relevant, would somehow be what my mind knows I need to get in touch with to heal here and move forward. And I breathed in. Before I even got there, I realized that when I set the goal, the trust me and appreciate all I do, it had echoes to my ex-wife. And my experience with my ex-wife was that soon after we were married, it seemed almost nothing I did was good enough for her. So there was that tie in to appreciate all I do. The next thing is when I did this release and I kept repeating, I cancel my need to be right and I ask to be shown, I flashed on an image of myself at 9 or 10 years old, and I had been so distraught by the pattern in my family, a very loving, very wonderful family, but, you know, kids are kids, and I was about a whole head taller than my brother and more than a head or two taller than my two sisters. And so I would get picked on by all three siblings, and they would, you know, throw things at me or hit me or in our usual play games. And it would hurt, and I would take it and take it and take it until I would blow up. But they would only do that to me when they knew Mom or Dad was around, and they would go running to Mom or Dad, and then I would get in trouble for being aggressive towards them. This pattern had progressed to the point where the thing that flashed into my mind was I had written a note and run away from home, a goodbye cruel world kind of a note, and I ran away from home because I was that kind of kid who always wanted to please people and wanted to be a good person and wanted to be trusted. When I said, hey, look, my sister is hitting me, my brother's hitting me, they won't leave me alone, and I would not get believed because I was so much bigger, it was always me being the aggressor and hurting people. So that flashed on my mind, and I had some tears come up, and I felt sadness. So I made some notes about that. I made notes about running away and leaving a note and feeling the deep sadness and how I was running away at 9 or 10 years old because I wasn't appreciated for who I was and I wasn't being believed. So I'd shifted from an 8 out of 10 rage to a sadness that was probably a 4 out of 10 sadness. And then the worksheet asks me to commit to love, to living a human life, and to help achieve this, I do a mass canceling of all the times I've wanted this goal from anybody, all the times I've wanted somebody to trust me and appreciate all I do. So I did that, I took a breath, put a check mark in that box, sat with it for a moment or two. It didn't seem to be a big shift or anything going on, but I gave it a moment or two, and then I moved to number 7 in the worksheet, which is, it reads, a principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. I should back up and say that in 6C, the worksheet asks me to ask to be shown a time when I have not fulfilled trusting people and appreciating what they do. So I wrote that in there and gave myself a moment or two to think about it. A couple different instances flashed in my mind, and that's something that I can do worksheets on in the future if I so choose. And then number 7 reads that a principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. It reads, I am grateful for this opportunity to heal, and I'm going to choose truth with a capital T, meaning I want to choose to see life as it actually is, And I'm going to choose perfect love, which means I'm going to choose to continue to set the filter over intentions to love and the filter over perception to love in my mind. And I'm committing to do that. And then it says, to Sue, my trigger in this worksheet, number 1C, Sue, I structure a truly loving goal toward you, and I'm going to offer two more worksheets, one on the sadness from the age 10 that came up in this worksheet, that incident in age 10 when I ran away from home, and one on the anger that I felt, which is another worksheet that came to mind when I realized that I actually had made a minor error, and that's what prompted Sue to write me the email. So I was angry at myself for making the mistake, and that's another worksheet I can do. And as I do that and return by removing more of the sadness from when I was age 10 and more of the anger at myself, which is covering up a pain, a fear, or a sadness about myself making a mistake, the more I do that, the more I'm going to be able to stay in the energy of love and extend that to everyone in my life, including Sue, who's the one who sent me the email to begin with. So I rated my upset level at the end of the worksheet as a 4 out of 10 because the sadness was still up, and I put a check mark that it was a successful worksheet, and that was the end of that. So there's an example. You know, here's a moderately successful psychologist on a weekend, reads an email, and is triggered to rage. And fortunately, I've had access to these tools for over 17 years and seen the benefits of them, so I knew instantly that my rage was not about the email, and it wasn't about the mistake I'd made, and it wasn't about the person sending me the email. The rage is an echo of something in the past. And as one of my bottom line observations spells out for me, if I have a negative thought about myself or someone else, or a negative emotion active in my system, I can instantly know three things. The first one is, it's an old tape playing. The second one is, it's based in a lie or a falsehood. And the third one is, if I take an action from it, I'm going to make my life situation worse right now. So it's an old tape playing mean I'm not upset about what's going on in the moment. In the present moment, if I'm alive and I'm awake and I'm active and alert, the present moment acts on me and I respond. I don't have negative emotions come up if I'm in the moment, in now, in awake and aware. So when I have a negative thought recurring or a negative emotion, I know this is an old tape playing. This is about something from my past that I have locked away and said, Tim, you can't handle this, and it's getting resonated. And so it feels like a pain or a fear or a sadness that I don't want to deal with. And so I generate the rage, as Michael Rice would call it now, the drug of rage to numb myself from that pain or fear or sadness. Well, oddly enough, you know, here's a psychologist in his 60s, in his own home, completely safe, opens his phone, looks at an email, and has rage come up. Well, if you're a sane human being and you understand that rage is only a valid response for a life-threatening situation to trigger that fight or flight response that might help me run or fight for my life, and you see me, you know, in my 60s, in my safe, comfortable home, all of a sudden flying into a rage, you know it's not about what's going on in the moment. There's nothing life-threatening about my situation, nothing in that moment threatening anyone I love. So the rage is a completely unproductive and unreasonable response to whatever is going on, reading an email or spilling coffee grounds or whatever. So we can instantly know those three things. It's not about the present moment. It's based in a lie. And it's an old tape playing, and if I act from it, I'm just going to make my life situation worse. Fortunately, we have the worksheet process, and I could have, if I didn't have, you know, things going on the weekend, I could have pulled up my phone in that very moment and done the worksheet. But I chose to use my time differently over the weekend, and I waited until the group last night to do the worksheet. It's perfectly okay. I still remember what happened. I still can get the insights I need. I can still remove the pain, the fear, and the sadness from when I was 10 or 11 years old or 9 years old. I can still put myself in a better situation to respond with respect and compassion to both myself and anybody who sends me the next email pointing out a mistake I made. So that's what we're offering: access to these tools, access to the support group twice a week to get the community support in learning how to use these tools or actively using them at deeper levels. And that's what I've got to offer for today. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And if you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. Or if you're in the chat room, you can type a question and we'll do our best to discuss it with you. What's on your mind? I tell you, something that's on my mind is that I am about 4.5 hours away from finishing listening to the book Mad in America, and the author, Robert Whitaker, has agreed to let me interview him tomorrow. So I'm very much looking forward to that and to being able to share either a summary of that with you, this audience, or maybe as an actual replay of the interview once it's done and edited. It's really, as I've worked through that book, really helped me question a lot of what I've done in my career. Some of it, I'm very glad I did what I did. And other parts of it, I wonder if I could have done it better. And I wonder if there's some things for me to step into moving forward that would be more beneficial for the people I work with. So it's one of the things that I was gifted by my father and my mother both. They were lifelong learners. And so that's part of the legacy I've been living into, is that I keep learning. I keep reading. I keep going to trainings. I keep asking for support from people that I think are doing something better than I am, or maybe have more experience in it. And while I do that on a regular basis and I recommend it to people, I also recommend on a regular basis that we actively spend time every day scanning our minds for the trap of putting people on a pedestal and thinking that someone is better than we are or has more value than we do simply because they might have some behaviors or traits or skills that they do better than we do. And, you know, one of the biggest benefits of doing therapy work for over 47 years now is that I get it demonstrated for me on a daily basis that we're all the same. It doesn't matter how much money is in the bank account, whether it's negative or it's in the hundreds or thousands or millions or billions. It doesn't matter. People are just people. And so one of the biggest glitches in our current society is the glorification of certain people over others, whether it's the Olympic athletes or the people with the bigger bank accounts or the people with whatever style of body is in vogue right now, and they have, you know, something that's closer to the ideal body image. Idealization of a person, any other person, is an attack on actuality, It's an attack on yourself, and it's an attack on every other person, even the person that you're idealizing. It's an attack on them. And I've had a couple different situations arise already this week that really drive that point home. If you like what a teacher is saying or doing, please understand that teacher is just a person. And it's wonderful to get tapped into the teaching. It's wonderful to be able to use that teaching in your life. And it's an absolute curse and a trap to think that because that teacher has access to that knowledge or that wisdom, that he, she, or they are better than you in any way. And every person has basically the same range of emotions and the same pitfalls, whether it's jealousy or insecurity or, you know, anger issues or over-identification with their ego, their image of themselves. Every person has this. And so, you know, I remember when I was going into college, I still believed that if somebody made it to be a college professor, they must really know what they're doing. They must know what they're doing in every aspect of life. And I remained that naive all the way through college, despite that I ran into numerous examples of how that wasn't true. I simply logged it in my brain as, well, these are the exceptions to the rule. And then I went on to graduate school. About 5 years after I graduated college, I decided to go back to school for a doctorate in clinical psychology. And so I went back to graduate school. And again, I was still operating under this false belief that if somebody was a professor at a graduate school, if they were a psychologist, they must have cleared up all of their garbage. They must be a near-perfect human being. They must be somebody who I should listen to and emulate practically everything they say and do. Now, in graduate school is where they broke me. In graduate school is where they taught me, you know what, Tim? We're all the same. Because in graduate school, there were no less than three, maybe more, professors that I had in my time there who had literally psychotic breaks. Now, this is not even talking about the people who had personality problems who weren't very nice people. They were either full of themselves and ego, and there was lots of that, almost to a pathological level. But there were at least three professors while I was there and several students who were having active psychotic episodes. Now, by psychotic episode, I mean they could not tell the difference between the thought processes and images their mind was showing them and what the external world would agree on. So, you know, they were either literally seeing things that no one else could see or hearing things that no one else could hear, or they were literally believing completely false paranoid delusional statements that people were out to get them or that the world was about to end or something like that. So that's what I mean by psychotic break. They were no longer able to tell the difference between the very unproductive thoughts in their head and the kinds of thoughts and images and sounds that other people could agree on and actually see. So in that process, I learned really in the really, really hard lessons at times that we're all the same. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how famous you are. One of the things that almost every person, and Krishnamurti in his writings was the one who helped me see this in the mid-80s, early 80s, almost every person you run into is busy having a relationship with their fantasy about you, and they are not in a relationship with you. I'll say it again. It is far more common than not that human beings in our culture, in our world, are actively having a relationship with their fantasy about you and about themselves. So much so that they are not available for a relationship with you. Now, what's the classic example of this? Pen pals who fall in love. What's the modern day example of this is people instant messaging or emailing on the internet and being in love. I remember one woman came to me and she said, "I am so creeped out. I got one or two messages from this guy on social media, and they sounded very nice. And then he saw my picture, and it started going like he wants to marry me. And he said something like, you know, 'I'm breathing you.'" And the woman just got completely creeped out because she was healthier than that, and she realized she didn't know him, and he didn't know her. Another classic example is I didn't even start counting because I knew it was ridiculous, but I couldn't even begin to estimate how many people have come to our Tuesday support group when we used to meet in person. And routinely, new people would show up, and some would be neutral and some would be, "Now, this isn't for me." But every once in a while, we'd have somebody who shows up and says, "Oh, my gosh, I love this stuff. You guys are like, you're my family. I'm going to come back here every Tuesday for the rest of my life." It was so predictable that without fail, every single person who said that was destined to drop out within weeks. They were having a relationship with the fantasy in their head, not with the actual process of the group or the people in the room. So how can we work with that? Well, we have to develop vigilance. Michael Rice would say we have to have a persistent, consistent vigilance for the application of these tools, and we have to have a persistent and consistent vigilance for monitoring our own internal process. When I feel loving, gushing, cherishing, exciting, sensual, sexy, creative, vibrant responses in me, and I think it's being caused by someone or something outside of me, that's a lie. And in that moment, I could recognize the alarm bells going off. "Oh, Tim, you're having a fantasy about this person, and you're relating to the fantasy, and you're missing who the person is." Another classic example just washed into my brain. I went to a training, and I had asked a friend of mine to go. I knew that she would really like it. So we went to this training, and we came back, and she came to have lunch with me a day or two later, and she said, "Oh, my God, did you see that one woman? I love her. I just want to hang out with her all the time." Imagine that. Here's a grown woman, a therapist in her own right, probably had, I don't know, maybe 20-some years of experience at that point in time doing therapy, and she literally had a crush, not a romantic-type crush, but this friend-type crush. She wanted to have this person as her friend and hang out with her and have this friend like her, and she was turning herself inside out and upside down mentally and emotionally after just maybe a total of an hour and a half, 2 hours of direct interaction with this woman. The rest of it was in the two-day workshop. She just watched her from around the room, watched as she interacted with other people, and she created this fantasy that that person is going to be one of her best friends, that they're going to be they're going to be like sisters. They're going to be soulmates. So please be on the lookout. We all do this. Our culture has trained us to do this. Everything about our television, our movies, most of our books, the advertisements of billboards has us idealizing people, idolizing people, and training us without our awareness to have a relationship with our fantasy about this person and to attribute any good or bad feelings that we experience in a cause and effect relationship with the people and things outside of us. And the core of the work we do in the Mind Shifters radio and in the support groups, the core of the work is based on the recognition that everything I experience emotionally is an inside job. Even when I'm feeling really, really good, I'm feeling excited, I'm feeling cherishing another person, I'm feeling, you know, erotic and sensual, it's being caused inside me. The person in front of me is just the recipient of the energy that comes from me pouring my mind energy into the fantasy of me and that other person. And as Michael Rice talks about, we're trained to mistake love, which is this energy that we are and our essence, we're trained to mistake that for approval. And so we're trained to think that if somebody does what I want them to do, I love them. And in truth, all that's happening is I approve of them. I approve of what they've done. It's not love. It's approval. The proof is in the pudding. As soon as they stop doing the things I like, I don't love them anymore. I either could take them or leave them, or I flip over into hate. And again, it's not them I hate. It's hatred coming up in me. And my mind is projecting an image that tells me that they're the ones causing that feeling in me. And nothing like that has ever happened. People don't make me feel good. People don't light up my life. I light up my life and I blame it or attribute it on somebody else. I generate rage and I blame it or attribute it to what somebody else did or didn't do. That's the core of this work, and there are some really effective tools available for us to dismantle that process when it happens, and they're available at whyagain.org, whyagain.org. So we have about 10 minutes left. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Give us a call. Press 1, and let's have a conversation. What's on your mind? What's been triggered by what I've brought up so far? What's an example of in your life of somebody that you idolized or fell in love with, and then the shine wore off the rose, and all of a sudden you couldn't believe that you'd gotten into the friendship or the love relationship with that person? Or it happens all the time. Area code 760, you're in the air. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Anne in Florida.
Hello, Anne.
Well, I approve of your sharing your worksheet or wake-up sheet, as I like to call them, today. That was phenomenal. I haven't been on the show in a while, so it was just perfect timing for me. And just the whole thing of also sharing about, you know, be careful of that trap of putting people on a pedestal. And I want to say, even relating to my own family members, I think, right, it can happen as well.
Anybody. Anybody.
Yes. So, and I like, before I didn't hear it, and maybe you haven't used it before, but the word approval versus, you know, I love you or I love it. And I was just not too long ago thinking of, do I really love it, the thing? No, it's just something that helps trigger the joy or, you know, excitement or enthusiasm in me. So I guess you could sort of, you know, apply it to things as well or events, person,
Absolutely.
Places or things.
Right.
Okay.
That the core of the understanding is that when you feel something inside of you, you feel good, you feel bad,
yeah.
you feel tight, you feel tense, you feel happy, you feel sad, you're creating that inside of you. No thing has created that. How many people got all revved up and saved their money and bought the car of their dreams and felt the excitement for a day or two or a week or two, and then pretty soon they were getting in their car going to work and all of the buzz is worn off? It's not the thing. The car is still the same car. The
right.
buzz is an internal creation. It's an emotional experience, and we create those inside of us.
So then wouldn't it be the same? I was trying to relate it to what happened to me this morning. I hadn't been sitting down at the piano for quite a while, and I had almost learned to get this one piece done. It's a little classical piece that a piano coach was working with me a long time ago, and then all life happened, and then I put it on the, you know, back burner. Anyway, about a week ago, I started sitting down and just, you know, doing this, some songs that I already knew, and re-practicing those and saying, okay, amazing. It reminds me of how the brain cells still hold on to that, even though it's been months, or one time it was a year. Anyway, and when I got to the third verse of this song, it was Come Thou Almighty King. Anyway, it triggered, and so that's why I'm going to the thing, playing it, just my inside, the warmth and the goosebump kind of stuff feeling came. And so when I was reflecting this later, when I started writing in my journal, which I hadn't done for a while, and this prompted it, triggered it, I go, okay. So as you're talking, I'm going, is it the piano that did it? No. Is it the music that did it? Is it my singing that did it? No, it was already in there. You know, just that quiet time, alone time, and the words. It was, you know, for eternity, love and adore. And I've played that
not
song
the
over
words.
And over for the last week.
Not the words.
Okay. Yeah.
What you made them mean.
Right. Okay, got
it's
it.
It's the interpretation that you place on the words or the person or the event that has the resonance with other energies stored in you, meanings stored in you, traumas and emotions stored in you. It isn't the outside event that triggers anything. It's your interpretation of that. And your interpretation of it is what's resonating the connection with these emotions you experience or these traumas that you're holding on to, et cetera. It is 100% an inside job. And if you choose a different interpretation, you have a different response.
Right.
There's a part in the book, Michael Rice's Why Again book, where he's talking to Richard.
Right.
And he says, and Richard's all upset because his sister got all this special treatment. And Michael says, well, you know, look at it. Do you love your sister? And Richard says, well, of course I do. All right, so let's look at it this way. In the very same situation that you were just looking at and having upset because she got the gifts she wanted and you didn't get the gifts you wanted, what if you look at that with the interpretation of, here's your sister who you love, and she just got something she really loves for Christmas. Are you feeling happy for her or not? Just shift the focus away from what I didn't get and how it's not fair to how somebody I love got something that is good for them that fills them up, and his emotions change in the moment. And we can all do this. We can all try this. When I change the interpretation that I've created and placed on these thoughts, actions, people, or events, the impact on me changes.
Okay, so what I find then for me is that it's easy to look at the physical thing that I can see, but more it's harder for the when I say words, which kind of plays out how it's been in my life. It's not the hard, tangible things that I have an issue with. It's the emotional things that I can't see visually or that supposedly I see. So the words, but that's good. Thank you for catching that. It's the words. So if somebody else
says words.
It's
the meaning
words,
that, yeah.
Yeah.
The meaning that you have in
like
your mind for those words.
Right, which is why somebody can say something that doesn't trigger me with a certain feeling, but it does somebody else. So again,
exactly.
Depending upon their path.
The words don't have meaning. Right, the words don't have any meaning. Yeah. Only the brain cells of the person receiving the vibration that they're calling a word carries the meaning.
So when Dr. Rice talks about the words, how language can just change a whole country's perception, thinking of the whole Holocaust thing, the words that are ingrained and told you over and over and over again, then in our childhood too, we've taken on and made it our inside job when all along it was just words. Sometimes things seem so simple, and then we make it harder.
Right. Well, that's what our entire culture does.
Yes.
And so every time you find a teaching that makes it a little bit more simple and gives you a tool that you can apply reliably to make a change, it's worth its weight in platinum and gold and silver all combined.
Absolutely. So... and it doesn't matter whenever we catch it. It's like, I was looking at the word revelation earlier when I was writing some notes I'd written, and I go, and it was like from a radio show or something, and it, revelation has more than one meaning. And so it's like, okay, I can look at revelation. It's this aha moment. So if somebody else says some words or like you sharing about your wake up sheet, light bulb goes on, and I go, oh, okay, well, that was easy. Like, you're right. We make it complicated and sometimes. Well, anyway, I appreciate and approve of your sharing your stuff, and it just helps me to see, as you were saying, that everybody is on the same level and that, you know, these people that we might have used to put on pedestals, they've fallen. They've made errors, you know, and they've had to deal with the consequences.
Right, but even if they don't fall in a way that you can see it, they still have all the same issues that everybody else has. They may be a little bit better at working with some of them than others, but, you know, one of the biggest patterns is, you know, from the theme of today's show is almost everybody who's ever lived has been conditioned into the trap of having more of a relationship with their fantasy about the people and things around them than they ever have of a relationship with the actual person or thing.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So thank you for the call and questions right here at the end. I'm going to mute you so we can do our transition. Welcome, Jeannie Rice. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie.
Thank you. Good conversation. Thank you, Anne.
And she was referring to the fact that I discussed a worksheet I did in the group last night and just stepped through the whole thing in the first part of the show.
Awesome. I'll re-listen to the first part. I missed that.
All right.
Great.
Have a great
Thank
show.
You. Thank you, Dr. Tim. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Wednesday, July the 28th, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And your questions are always applicable to someone else. Everybody's conversation is important, and we appreciate you calling in. Waiting for Michael to get dialed in, and I will go ahead and turn on area code 480. You are on the air. Who do we have?
Hey, Jeannie. This is Cecilia. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Cecilia, and welcome,
Hi.
Michael.
Hi, Michael. Are you there?
I am here, young lady. How are you doing today?
It's so hard to get on this call and not feel like I'm bothering somebody or I'm totally
Cecilia. Cecilia, the reason
yeah.
we're here is to support you in doing what you're doing. And I acknowledge your courage for bringing it forward and the gift it is to everybody in the community for everything that you're opening up. So please, please feel totally comfortable and let go of this thing. And it's probably a power person message you were given. You're a bother. Get out of the
yes.
way. So
yes.
you're here as part of our work and our process, and we are delighted to have you here. So I'd suggest a mind shifter. Everyone delights in supporting my healing process because we are.
Thank you.
It's what we're here for.
Thank you so much. I don't know where I should start with the more analytical thing that I need your help with, or the pain that there's pain attached to this one. The one is a letter I'm writing to my biological dentist, integrative medicine dentist, who I'll hear from at
right.
noon with the condition of my bones and my mouth. And I did write this writing to her about you to please be part of working with me with you. Not that you'll be involved in it, just that she'll look at the website.
Uh-huh.
But I worded it in a way that I had to be careful that I knew that what I was saying was not coming from you or your work. It was coming from my intuition. So can
right.
I read this first? Can
please,
I, and
go
I wanted
for it,
you
yeah.
to. I wrote, so I did send it to you, but I figured I needed to do it
go
on
for it.
The call anyway. Okay.
Go for
her
it.
Her name's Dr. Hamden. I said, first of all, I asked you and Jeannie to edit this. Anyway, so I said, hi, Dr. Hamden. I believe my teeth and gum tissue issues were due to dysregulation of my body chemistry due to trauma. I am currently doing a lot of work to heal from the effects of severe childhood trauma. It's so small print. To learn how I'm healing my trauma and applying it to help my teeth. Oh, that's why I'm doing this work with you. Okay, so to heal my teeth, bone, and gums to heal, please. Okay, hold on. So I'm currently doing a lot of work to heal from the effects of severe childhood trauma. I'm healing my trauma and applying it to help my teeth, bone, and gums to heal, please go to whyagain.org. I intuitively believe through doing Dr. Michael Rice's work that I can and am regenerating my teeth, gums, and bone by removing disintegrative energy from all the cells in my body. So I am respecting and listening and sharing with you what my intuitive guidance is telling me. I'm telling you all of this because my entire nervous system in my body and all the cells in my body are just beginning to be rewired, aka neuroplasticity, with this work. Because of my trauma healing work, I intuitively believe that my muscle tissues can regenerate, my bones can heal in my mouth, including my teeth, and the lining in my gut is regenerating. The stress of going through traumatic events, too many to mention, caused my entire body's nervous system to go into chaos and got stuck in a hypervigilant mode where I've been in fear of everything, which caused my entire nervous system to go into dysregulation. My neuroplastic healing, oh my God, I don't know how to operate this new computer. Hang on. My neuroplastic healing. All right, hang on. My neuroplastic healing with this work has just begun, reteaching my entire system, the neurochemistry, the neurophysiology, the endocrine system that is in charge of regenerating bone growth, and my alternating freeze response of trauma, of shutting down, to come back to its even ebb and flow and reset it and consequently restore my health. The following link deals with, oh, no, I didn't want to add that. I put, I would like you to consider this work I am doing with Dr. Michael Rice is part of restoring the health of my teeth, gums, and bones. So what's your take on that? She's calling at noon my time, and I want to make sure I say something that does not put you in any kind of misrepresentation.
Right. So you said you sent me a copy of that?
Yes, I did.
Is that true? An email?
Last night, and I think I sent
it
this morning again. I
haven't looked at my email yet.
I sent a second one because I don't want to add the part about the dentist who treat people with endocrine disorders because they don't know it's from stress probably. But that endocrine disorders cause all the problems that I have, in my mouth. And I wanted to send it to her. But it also talks about treating with pharmaceuticals, and I'm not into that. I might send it anyway. You might want to look at it. Okay, so anyway, because hypothyroidism and hypothyroidism are the two things that endocrine systems disturb the condition of the mouth within it. I found this article. I thought it was amazing. I found it. So I think I might add that to it.
Okay. Yeah, if you'd send that article along, I'll take a look at it. I don't know that I'll be able to get that done by 1 or by noon your time talking to her. My only input from you reading it is that I see that you've been doing a lot of research and are understanding on another level, and it sounds like it's going to need a little more clarity. There's a little bit of confusion in it maybe, but I think you're right on point, right on track. And I think enlisting your dentist to at least understand and to be able to support you, even if it's just in the way she speaks to you about it, will be powerful support.
Yes.
So you're right on track.
Thank you. Okay. Yep. But meaning she speaks about it in the language of this work. Our work.
Yes. Speaking in terms of supporting you in opening and looking at and processing through things that need to be processed, just for her to have that comprehension, which a lot of medical people don't have that link or that key, that can make the difference of, you're sitting in the dentist chair and fingers are in your mouth and all of a sudden up comes this kind of freeze response. For her to understand that and go, so I'll back off for a minute and let's just breathe and go ahead and do your exercises to open that flow of energy again. And I'm with you and I support you. Just to have that as opposed to, what are you doing? Are you some kind of crazy woman?
Can be the difference of
night and day in your healing process. So I think you're wise to be asking for that support. I think that there are two different arenas. There's treatment and there's healing. And they are clearly, for the most part, in this culture, two different things. And I think that any medical professional who doesn't understand healing needs to be introduced to it and needs support to move beyond just treatment and add healing to the process. So I think you're right on track. And it's reasonable for you as the client in this circumstance to ask for the kind of support you need.
Well, then, as of yet, don't read this to her until I get more clarity so she can understand what I'm saying better, in a better way.
You might go for a little more clarity, yes.
So then I'll wait for you to go over it this.
I'll go over it and I'll give you some feedback for sure. Yeah.
It's slightly disjointed
at this point.
Okay. I'll just hear her results of the test today and say, okay, let me think about it. And then I will take my time and heal. I mean, and work through this letter. And thank you for doing that helpfully for me.
And I'll absolutely get back to you with it.
I'm being gentle with myself. You said on last week somehow that I'm not getting to, you know, the freeze responses. There were so many that I just think that's what life was. So I'm just like, you know, I'm not writing. And so that I want to write. Actually, I love to write. But I felt so incredibly like blocked that you said be gentle with myself, but you know, I got this part of me that's like, what the heck is freeze response? I'm going to go find a person that can explain it to me, and on YouTube over the weekend. And I found this lady, I don't know if I should name her name or not. I don't know if that's against policy or, but anyway, she studied with Paul Levine, somatic guy or whatever his name is. And she's got her own approach to freeze, fight, flight, la la. And so,
right.
If you want her name, I'll email it to you or whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, I put freeze response, you know, healing freeze response or something, because I wanted to jar my mind to something, be triggered to something that might come up that I can write about. So
right.
the first thing she said is, you know, when you're in a family and you're a child and you can't even sing, I thought, oh my God, that's the first thing she said. Oh my God.
Mm.
You know, that's my
DNA.
You know, and she said, you can't sing and you can't, and your parents said, shut up and that's stupid. Singing is stupid. I don't know if my parents sure as heck acted like it was the stupidest thing in the world. Okay, so I thought I got to listen to her. That's basically all I really got out of that is, okay, but she does say that there's no connection in the family without connection for someone to hear our feelings. They're frozen up inside of us, you know, the traumas that we're going through. Of course,
yeah,
my mother used to, ooh, boo-hoo, 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 what an ugly face. And I literally just can't even, like, ever open up again, you know. And so, you know, it's like, I still couldn't write after that video, and I can't find it again. So I did find another one, and I'm watching her. And you did say you want her name, and I'll email you that in her link.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to see her perspective. Sure.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I can't find the one that said, but I remember it. She said that.
Is it in YouTube? Did you watch it in YouTube?
Yes, I did, but it wasn't called.
Okay, well, just go to your history in YouTube, and it'll be listed there.
In my iPad, I'll have to call Apple because it does not give you your history like my lap book, and I did it on my iPad, and I've been looking for hours for it. Anyway, but
well,
I'm sure I'll run into
it shouldn't
again.
Be, as I understand it, Cecilia, it's not iPad that's going to keep a record of that. It's in your YouTube account. When you go to your YouTube page,
there should be a button
that tells you history. Pardon me?
Okay. I didn't think I had a YouTube account. I'm always on it.
There should be a history that will tell you all the videos that you've watched. So.
Oh, my God. It's going to be like the Smithsonian Institute or something. There's so many.
Well, it's great. You know, YouTube University is a very, very powerful place for study and information. Of course, there's a lot of garbage there, too, but there's some powerful stuff.
So anyway, before the show, I was thinking about having no connection ever, but I also at the same time was thinking and that this my nervous system couldn't digest food. My nervous system is in charge of everything. And as you get older, you, and this is what I heard too. This is on another video I'll send you of this person. She said, when you don't connect your nervous system, and when you're in freeze flight or mode, whatever there, you cannot digest food. You can't, you know, you can't do
right.
Your nervous system. So
the
like,
innervation of the body,
really
there's no innervation. When you're in that sympathetic state, dominant state, there's no, you know, the body says, I don't need to digest. I don't need to repair. I need to survive. And so all resources go to survival. That's why that simple exercise I gave you is a way to start to rebalance and get back to where you move from sympathetic dominance, freeze, and actually there's a separate state. The continuum is sympathetic to parasympathetic, but then there's a free state that they're discovering is a third nervous condition. And so when you're in freeze or you're in sympathetic, there's so many things that just aren't getting nerve supply. And just that simple exercise I gave you, there are many others, but that can be a simple way to start to open and to get that nerve supply. And when you do that, make sure you breathe big. Make sure that your chest, your belly, your right down into your hips, everything expands, and that will tend to stretch that vagus nerve so that it opens and gets innervation into those places that have been previously blocked. There's a physiological component.
Well, I did that. I was going to eat before the show, and I heard that, and I said, "You can't. Nothing's going to get digested. Never, ever have the millions of dollars I spent on being 100% raw food or organic person ever got digested or into my system." So we're going to just do this nerve thing that Michael Rice said, you know, the vagus nerve exercise, and we're going to breathe. So I have my little heart that's on a piece of paper with your connected breath exercise, and I was talking to myself, you know, trying to connect with this part of me that's never been connected with. And I, you know, I started writing. It wasn't a worksheet, but, you know, the part of me that never has gotten listened to said, just stop and listen to me. I need you to connect with, you know, my the core of me and be present, love, present lover. I'm just scribbling.
Yes.
Anyway, I am present. I choose now to be present for you and your pain and your tears. Somehow this same lady that I've been watching learn about stuff, she said, you know, you can also get burnout. And then I put on here, and you're being hospitalized so many times in your 20s for burnout on the psych ward when me or anybody else were not present with you, okay? Please be with me. And then this part of me that needs to be heard says, please be with me now, that the freeze, flight, fright response comes up for me now. And then I said to her, I promise you'll be safe with it coming up now. I have a connection to a safe community. You're going to be safe, and I know you'll learn as I ask for help on the show every day that you'll see that you'll get this help from me. And the other thing that I know I'm reading sort of not joining words and stuff. Anyway, but you get the drift, I hope. And then the other thing she said on this video, this touches me because it just touches me. Because I relate to animals who are in this world that they're not specifically mean dogs because there isn't a system that gives them the greatest care in the world, in this world that I know of. And this lady on this video that I'll send one, I'll send you this one. She says when animals are traumatized in the wild, they die.
Yep.
They don't deal with trauma. They're not like humans. We have some more intricate system where I guess we can live for so many years with it, you know. And when she said that, it's just like, oh my God, if I don't, I've really got to work on my trauma now because my traumatizing gets vomited on them. And so it's just an impetus for me to really, because if everybody doesn't know how much I truly love animals and want to give them the best light, I got to give me it first.
Absolutely. And here's another thing. Remember that when you look at and you speak about how dearly you care for animals, and yet when the stress is up and the chips are down, you've pushed that trauma out on them. That might be a space to begin to open some compassion, not only for yourself, but for the people that did that to you. Because they had no choice. They had no, I mean, and you know, if you go back just the same way as you speak about the animals, you cherish them so deeply. Your mother, your father cherished you so deeply, but they were so lost in their own trauma. And when it was in their faces, they couldn't do anything except push it out on you. It wasn't, when that happens, it isn't a matter of volition or choice. It's just, that's what's there and that's what moves. And until you've got tools, which, you know, you've at least got some tools now. Your parents had none. The world at that time had no tools.
Right. Michael, I tell you, it's a blessing to hear all of this because I really thought I was the most hated person on the planet by my parents and family.
Let's put this in another, more understandable context. People talk about, well, you know, if you didn't experience darkness, you'd never know what the light was.
That's
a fraud. We don't have darkness to experience light. You know, we could be looking up in a full sunlit sky, and there's a star that's 100 billion light years away, and this light is coming in. Now, we may not see that single star, but we still get to experience the light that comes from it as part of the light that we're experiencing. And nobody has ever created a flash dark.
Oh, what?
Have you ever seen a flash dark? A flash dark?
No. What is it?
Have you ever seen one? A little device that you push a button on it and it turns out it just disappears all light?
It disappears all light?
No such thing exists, right? No such thing exists, right? There's no such thing as a flash dark. Because darkness is an absence.
Okay.
It has no positive existence. It has no existence. It's just an absence of the light. And when you bring the light in, the darkness is dispelled because it is an absence. It's the same thing with hate. Hate is just an absence. There's no positive presence of hate. It's just an absence. And the things that puke out of the energy fields of those who are lost in what we call hate, it's just the energetic patterns that are there that they have no idea how to resolve. And in the same way, we do have a thing called a flashlight. No matter how deep the darkness is, you light one candle, and the darkness begins to disperse. In the same way, when we remember to loose our own trauma and bring forward the light, the darkness begins to be dispelled for everyone.
Yes. Yeah, I figured that my siblings and everybody didn't, this is just like an over the weekend, I figured that my siblings and my parents couldn't like connect to me because they had all that stuff in them and they were trying to survive with their own trauma and they couldn't connect to themselves, so they couldn't connect to anybody else.
And that's virtually what's happening with virtually everyone on the planet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's dispelling my, I don't know then if I can call it trauma.
Well,
that I felt that I went through, if I look at it that way.
Good catch.
Huh?
Good catch.
Yeah. because I'm seeing it with eyes of actuality instead of the reality that the reality show. I was actually thinking, how could I help? I could have an actuality show like the Kardashians have reality shows, you know.
there you go.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Hey, we could say we knew you that when. That'd be cool.
No, I'm just trying to think of ways to put it out there.
Here's what you just did. You just shifted into seeing all of your history through Rachma.
Yeah.
Remember Yeshua said when they said, what's most important to human life? If you're going to be a human, what do you have to do? He didn't say love your neighbor, love God as yourself. He said have Rachma. You just opened Rachma. And it changes everything.
Yeah.
The non-being mind can't comprehend that. You can't explain that to the non-being mind. It comes by the experience, and you just had one.
Yes, I did. I did verbalize it, too, over a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got a permanent record of it. How cool is that?
You know, I saw the movie Mr. Rogers, whatever it was called, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and totally felt like I want to contribute something, and he did it in his way, and that's what gave me the idea of have an actuality show, you know, and this work, you know, instead of frivolous stuff like plastic surgery and clothes and things like that, you know, or whatever. His wasn't frivolous, but reality shows to me are that way. So, and just have issues come up and go through them. And you know, it's like, what's the difference between a radio show saying all this stuff and an actual, some PBS program or something like Mr. Rogers? Anyway, I'm just putting that on the back burner, okay? Because you know, I want to be able to get back out and sing. And doing this work has been different than I did when I was out there without it. So I don't know. I'm just rambling now. So I appreciate you guys being there. I thank you for letting me know that you appreciate me sharing as many times as I need to, and reassures this part of me that I'm not repeating the belief that of what I did growing up, that it's not traumatic to do this, okay? It's not traumatic. And people are, you know, I'm not repeating this belief that you know, I'm not wanted and all that. So anyway.
Here's what happens.
Okay.
And you've heard me talk about this before. When?
Yes.
I shift into Rachma.
Yes.
When love is conscious, active, and present, I can simply collapse the perceptual constructs of my life based in trauma. I don't have to live through them, look through them all, sort through all the crap.
Yes.
There are parts of it that I may do specific work, pieces of work on and go through some of the crap, but ultimately when I get to that place where full-blown Rachma is open, I get to process the actuality of the energy as it is, rather than having to filter it through the perceptual constructs of my generations. And that just changes everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And ultimately, that's a skill you want to develop, and you just got a good taste of it right there. That's just right on track. And instructive.
Said, yeah. Which
it
part,
is so
which
instructive
part,
for was, everybody.
What was the instructive part? Can you tell me so I can condense
for me,
down,
the instructive
so.
Part for everybody was just to hear you shift from all the drama and trauma, all the garbage into, oh, it doesn't have to be that.
Oh, yeah, that I interpret it in the mind and love.
And that's your learning. And that's your process. And we're here to share that kind of process with people who don't even have, who haven't even started, who don't even have a clue what we're talking about. And so that's exactly why we're doing this show, and exactly why when we complete and you go, wow, I just got a big piece of work done, we say thank you. Because each piece of work that you do and demonstrate is instructive to everybody who's listening. And and that's what it takes. So you know, as often as you want to call in with whatever's going on for you in the state of willingness to do your work, please be here. That's what we're here for.
Okay. So I feel complete in this moment.
Sweet.
And I feel clear in this moment. So if there's anybody else that would like to share, is there a hand up or anything?
Well,
I just want to make
sure there are no hands up, but even if there were, you've got the floor right now.
I'll tell you that
when you're on the floor,
that,
it's yours.
I tell you that. That's another thing that had gone through my mind my whole life is I talk too much. I mean, literally, I want to talk about everything. And so I was told somewhere along the line, and I told myself, you talk too much. People don't want to hear what you have to say. But you gave me a mind shifter for that. So, and I'm always conscientious that I want to leave space for other people. But it seems that when I try that, nobody shares. It's like, so I don't know. So anyway, I just was checking.
Well, you're probably, Cecilia, you're probably not going to go out to the local bar and get a whole lot of appreciation for this kind of conversation. So this is a different space with a different purpose than what most of the world is about. You know, if you go back to the scriptures, they talked about, you know, the world has not yet conceived of what lies in store. So you're not going to get a lot of information or a lot of interest for that conversation until people have got the brain cells. And as people develop the brain cells, then they're like, oh, man, I can't get enough of it. But until then, you know, it can be interesting once in a while, but I'm not really, you know. And one of the challenges I've watched with this work over developing it the last 50 years is that people don't hang around long enough to really build the brain cells to even begin to do the work. You know, if I put it in context of yourself, you know, you look at, you started this conversation 25 years ago?
I think I was 31. I'm 64. I just turned 64.
Okay. So 30 plus years ago, you started this conversation. Yeah. And here you are now really starting to comprehend the conversation. You know?
Yes.
And that's what it takes. It's a process. You're right on track.
I just wanted to share when you said that don't go to a bar. I always wanted to date musicians because I wanted to be part of them. I wanted them to say, oh, you're good. And they never did. Come on, join the band. But I would date somebody in the band or something, and then I'd sit around in the bar while they're playing. You know, that was my date, you know, is watching the guy that I was in a relationship with in his band. And so I would sit with strangers and I'd just start bringing up conversations and they're like, you're in a really strange, weird way. They said, you're really deep. Like, that's the last thing. They didn't even want to hear me. And my daughter says it too. She says, you're really deep. And she said, I bet you Michael Rice hates his life because I said, he's deeper than me. And she goes, I bet you he hates his life. I said, it's the opposite, Michelle. It's just the opposite. Because she can't.
It is so the opposite.
She can't conceive being that deep. And yet I told you one time recently, you know, I tell her all the time, I cannot not be me. This is what my life is about, is healing, you know, restoring myself. And she goes, I said, you don't have to listen every time. And she goes, no, I don't get any of it, maybe 5%. But something might sink in. I told you that. So even though she says I'm deep and everything, she doesn't go out and drink or anything. She just sits there for an hour or more.
So listening to me over the phone. And so, you know, she's building the brain cells.
She's building the brain cells. That's exactly it.
I hope I told her something that's true, because I hear you say it, but I want to double check. Yesterday I did tell her that I could see why our whole family, my dad's wish in this whole world, he gave us a letter 2 years before he died that he doesn't want any presents. He just wants everybody to love each other and be a family. You know, he couldn't do it. You know, he even said, he wanted us to all get together and tell each other what we didn't like about each other and what we'll do to work on ourselves. And he wanted a letter from all of us to tell him. Nobody did anything about it, but I did have an intention to do something, which is this work. Anyway, so I told Michelle that letter, no one ever connected in our family because they couldn't. They had too much garbage in them and didn't know what to do with it. And so and I said, that's why nobody can connect. It's not because everybody hates each other. So it's funny you're saying that today.
Well, and it sounds like your dad was reaching for it.
Yes, he was.
Trying to comprehend it. Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that letter. I've read it then, but I was so stuck in my, that they hate me. My whole family hates me. How am I supposed to do anything about this? You know, that was, you know, long, like 10 years ago or something. He wrote that, 11, 12. Anyway, so I'm finally able to live. I'll be the letter for him. I don't have to write it. I'll just be it. I'll be the letter of being a place for him. And I told my daughter, I said, you know, are you understanding anything I say? She said, no, but I'm listening. And I said, that's okay, Michelle, because hopefully I quote you right. I said, Michael Rice said, I'm the designated person to do the work in our generations, and you'll benefit from it. That a door will open for you in your life for me doing it. So I hope I said what I wasn't sure really what I was saying. So just want to get a little clear about that. Did I say anything that made any sense in this work? By me doing the work, she benefits from it.
That's it.
And how this
and
benefits
sounds like...
question. Oh, just because I open an actual door instead of a not actual door into our bloodline. Right?
Yes. Go for it. That's it.
Okay. So anyway, I feel changes going on. A lot of changes. I hope you like this particular person I'm going to send you. She talks about your work in a very similar way. She talks about you can't just do breathing exercises to calm your sympathetic nervous system. That's like a tsunami coming to the beach and you're trying to like breathe it to stop it or something. You've got to be with it as it comes to the beach, and then when it gets to the beach, it'll subside. But you got to be with yourself while you're going through this. Breathing alone won't help it. And so I understand it stood her to mean what you say, which is as a tsunami in me, that all the stuff that comes up, be with it, you know, and breathe. But I can't just breathe. I have to be a space of love for myself and let it
exactly.
come to the shore and let it come to the shore and it's gone.
Breath is what will move the love through the system, will enhance it. Remember, the breath is, in Aramaic, Ruach HaKodesh, this feminine elemental force that undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. So it is, in a sense, the presence of love. And it is the breath that moves it through the cell. And it is the movement of love through a cell that is life.
So in this connected breathing exercise, when you say allow yourself to take a deep breath, and that is Ruka that I'm saying to
that is
come
Ruka.
In?
Yeah, if you go back to the creation story, it doesn't say God sent out his spirit. In Aramaic, it says God sent out his breath. It's our direct link and connection to the active presence of love. And it's what moves that energy of love through our cellular structure. When somebody doesn't want to deal with something, they're in trauma, what do? Lock down the breath. That moves right over to the opposite end of the scale to that sympathetic dominant state and ultimately leads to freeze and shutdown. It's the restoration of the breath that creates the opening.
I'm going to be a super, instead of a super power lifter of weights, I'm going to be a super deep breather of Ruka. It's just
there you go.
Constant thing, you know. It's like a muscle. Instead of building muscles, you know, in the gym, I'm building the muscle of breathing.
There you go. That's it.
That needs to be an Olympic sport to breathe.
It could be.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's, my body's just like, okay, we did it for 3 minutes. I'll stop already, you know. It's kind of like lifting weights. Okay, well, we'll take a break, but I think we're supposed to breathe, you know. So, Anyway, I have this funny feeling that my voice coach has got turned. My last lesson was talking about my voice lesson. Was having you on his computer screen. He wants to know everything about you. He's going to listen to archives. He's going to, before he contacts you, okay?
Oh, cool.
I think he knows your work because I literally read the Connected Breath in front of him. I said, before we start, I'm going to let you know where I'm at, okay, with my work with Dr. Michael Rice. And so I was reading this, and he goes, okay, what is the name of this guy? And he spelled her name R-I-C-E. I said, no, it's R-Y-C-E-C. And I said, it's yagain.com or org.
Dot org.
And,
that's O-R-G.
Yeah, and so I'm like, you could go through radio archives. You can listen to the shows that way. He's got students from all over the world, famous people, not famous people, me. So he can... I said, this is this work that's helping me. Okay, I was telling about the in-breath connected to to the out-breath, you know, and all this. And I said,
we could create a song for that. And we could
you got one?
The in-breath connected to the out-breath.
You know, I want to take what's going on with all this stuff that I'm going through. You know, the greatest songs in the world are about our own life. And so, I literally
You could become a cover artist. You know, like I've thought many times of sending a letter to what's her name? The woman that sings "God is Watching Us." Can you imagine if that song came out instead of the words being "God is watching us from a distance"? What if Bette Midler came out with that song and the words were, God is watching us from within us?
Oh, my God, yes.
If we started to tell the truth in these songs.
Yes.
What if people were putting that into their nervous system with that great melody line? How different would their lives be?
So amazing. And, yes, I agree with you 100%. I did tell my daughter that, you know, in my 20s, things were coming through me like right and left, writing lyrics. And I would look at them and go, I don't even know what it means. What is this? It scared me so bad because I had such a low self-opinion of me as being worthless and not creative and all this kind of stuff that who is this person? And it scared me. It scared me too much. And you had said, I prayed for it to go away. And I told Michelle, you had told me that I can do worksheets on removing the blocks that are there and then get back to it. So, you know, that's what I'm working on so that I can get back to doing this. Because it literally came through me. I would hear songs to go, and then I would have lyrics for them. I'd only have bits and pieces of the intro or the whatever, and ideas for other ones, and they never came together because I didn't study music yet. I was like 21, 22 or something. So anyway, yeah, I hope that. I hope that. I don't know if hope is strong enough. I will that. What is stronger than will? Just so that I can break through the part of me that is the highest part of me that does this work. So how can I break? What's the fastest and easiest way?
Here's the fastest way to do it.
Okay.
If we were in intensive right now, I'd turn to the board and I'd write on the board all of the above. If you went back through our archives and listened to every word that I've said in 10 years of radio shows, I would address only your question, the one you just asked.
So when I go back, listen to it as if you're addressing my question instead of what archives are about? Oh,
well,
nice.
That's what the archives are about. Now, the truth is, there's really only one question. There's really only one answer, and that is do your work. Doesn't matter whether it's because I'm in trauma over a marriage breakdown, or I'm in trauma over an abusive parent, or I'm in trauma over the loss of a business, or I'm in trauma over, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The answer is the same. You do your work. You handle the disintegrative energy through forgiveness, and
yes.
You open and you become a vessel that is receptive to the active presence of love flowing through your structure. Now, there was a title for that in the ancient Aramaic. It was called the Kingdom of Heaven. You remember there was a guy 2,000 years ago, he said, seek ye first. Now, those words were mistranslated by the Greeks. The Aramaic words there were the community of love. First, seek to live as the presence of love, join with others in the presence of love, and then everything else gets handled. It doesn't matter what the question is.
Oh, I love this. You don't hear it very often, but I love it.
Yeah. Oh, it's the core of it all. So thank you for being receptive and ready to rock, ready to go for it.
Well, I know now 100% clear. I shut down that part of me in increments. It would force its way out of me musically, but I would keep shutting down because I was stuck in nobody loves me, everybody hates me, nobody wants to hear me.
Going
no,
to the garden deep worms?
Well, the Garden of Deep Worms, did you say?
No. You didn't ever sing that song when you were a kid, Nobody Loves Me, Everybody Hates Me, Going to the Garden to Eat Worms?
No. Is there a song?
Oh,
like
you're
that?
Kidding. You've never heard that song? Oh.
No, but I must have wrote it.
Oh, dear. What fun.
Yeah, nobody gets that this is actually like, it's like feeling alive. It's like feeling like a connection to, yes, this is what life is supposed to be, your work on that I'm doing, okay? Because my daughter doesn't get it yet.
Well, again, how long did it take you?
No, I know. And she's not going nowhere. She's not. She's actually called me. She has never has anything to say, but she's calling to listen because she doesn't share anything.
Yeah.
Every time, for her whole life, same old, same old. So I said, look, I'm talking a lot because I want to connect with you somehow, Michelle, and I can only be me. So if you don't want to hear this, just say when, you know. And she just calls me to hear me talk.
She's great. Building the brain cells, and that's...
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
To it all.
Thank God. Thank you.
The key to it all.
All right, so... So I will send you some links after when I get off the phone to a couple of these that you might, my letter to you, and I'll send
cool.
it to you again. And I'll keep the dental part about the endocrine disorders causing gums and teeth and all problems in your mouth and hypothyroidism. And you can just, it's probably a Western medical opinion. So I kind of looked through it like, you know, okay, but I'll take out of it what I can use for my healing. So
yeah, ties right in. No, I would agree.
Yeah.
That's You know, when the endocrine system starts to shut down, look on the website for the chart, the physiological effects of emotional suppression. And it's all about
now,
how...
Now, where is this at, Michael?
And
this
what,
is on your website?
Go to the page with the worksheets on it.
Okay.
Do a search in the page for the word physiological.
Okay.
Or the word suppression. Probably easier to spell suppression. And you'll find a chart. And that chart goes through the endocrine system. And it shows what emotions layer over what parts of the endocrine system to shut the system down, and what the corresponding thoughts are that people generally use to do that.
Oh, I'll never be speaking the same after I look at this. I'll be like, no, we're speaking differently now.
That's the idea.
Wake up call. When teeth go bad, wake up call. No.
Well, when anything goes out of line, remember, again, go back to the Aramaic. Let's remember that in Aramaic, the word sin is not some terrible, awful thing we've done. The word sin simply means off the mark. It's an archery term. When they said the wages of sin is death, they were saying if you keep putting disintegrative energy into your endocrine system, into your heart, your lungs, your livers, your bones, your teeth, your hair, your eyes, then those parts of your structure are going to begin to fall apart, and ultimately you will create death. The wages of sin is death. That chart shows exactly what kind of thoughts and what the emotions are that shut down endocrine gland by endocrine gland, which begins the destruction of the whole system. And you'll see that if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see an arrow that goes down, and that points to what's been called aging. It's got nothing to do with time. You know, people seem to get old over a period of time, so people think, well, that's getting old. It's got nothing to do with time. If you've got someone who's engaging only in integrative energy, then what time will do to them is strengthen and teach them. It won't age them. And if you begin to do your work, then as time unfolds, time will youth you rather than age you, because time has got nothing to do with it. Let me see, who was it? What was the name? It'll come to me as I say it, but here's the quote from a medical doctor. Time has no effect on human tissue under any conditions. It is the belief in the effects of time that acts as a poison.
This is not on a Western medical doctor, is it saying that? Because they don't
His name isn't coming to mind at this point. But yes,
isn't
it's
Max
who
Planck?
Was in the Western. Say again?
Max Planck.
Max Planck.
All right. Yeah.
So
Max,
physicist, not medical doctor.
Oh, he's a physicist?
Time, here are his words. Time is not toxic. Time has no effect on human tissue under any conditions. It is a belief in the effects of time by those who subscribe to such a belief that acts as a poison.
Gosh, I've always believed like staying like completely like young forever, and then my tooth got infected. Okay, but I'm back on the out of my believing in the world's belief that time can make you old and die. Okay. I love to help people. This is me. I want to get out there and stand on top of the mountain. And we have a ton of them here in Phoenix, Arizona, and with my bullhorn and teach the stuff to them and wake them up.
So
but
do
I
your work
I
and
should...
pass it on.
Okay. I'll do my work. Yeah. Not go up on those mountains. Have you ever hiked in Phoenix, just out of curiosity, on this really, really rough mountain?
Not in Phoenix, no. I have in other parts of Arizona, but it's been a while.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So I'll just do my work here. What?
I just sent you an email with the link to that chart for the physiological effects.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. All right. So, gang, I'm sure I'll be back.
Okay, you have a blessed one.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, take care. Blessings. Bye-bye. All right, Miss Jeannie.
Yeah, it's all quiet out here on the home front. We have about 4 minutes plus the outro. We just had a hand go up, and I believe that it is Miss Ann, 760. You're on the air.
Great. Let's say hello.
Yes, and I hope this
hey,
is still
listening. Hey, we haven't heard your voice in a while. Welcome.
I know. Thanks. I hope Cecilia's still listening. I just wanted to reassure her. I've had, as you know, and you could testify, that I've, over the years, taken things personally. And so, you know, this work has definitely helped, you know, lessen that tremendously. And so I hear some of those same things, hear the dental issues. So, Cecilia, as Michael has said, you know, anything we ask or share, others benefit. And I know I can speak for quite a few people. And it's just that, you know, and we tend to take things personally. I used to kind of take things personally. If somebody didn't take my idea, and I know part of that came from growing up with my mom. But any given day, any of us may have other things to do, right? So we're not always on here. And so someone doesn't always. Like, I haven't been on in a while, and today what Dr. Tim was sharing spoke right to me, and I was the only one that responded. So, I mean, anyway, I just wanted to assure you that anytime, you know, anybody is listening, it's always a benefit to more than just you. So keep doing what you're doing. Blessings for that. And then I just have a quick physics question, Michael.
Let's go for it.
Okay. When I was reading some of it happened to be Emmett Fox's commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. Anyway, this morning, laying in bed reading that, I have recently had a childhood clock that is actually 94 years old refurbished, and it was sitting there, and the only way that it will work is to wind it, and it has to be wound every 24 hours. Well, I'm reading, and I sneeze. When I sneeze, I make a lot of noise usually. And I sneeze like a double sneeze. This clock was not working. I haven't wound it in probably 4 to 5 days. That clock immediately started ticking, and it ticked for 10 minutes, which was the time that I was finishing reading. And then it stopped again. So my question is, physics-wise, because we talk about resonance. Right. Well, we talk about resonance. So was my sneeze, the noise of my sneeze, it wasn't noise. It's a wave, right? It's a radio wave, or it's a wave of resonance. Can that trigger, just like when an opera singer sings so high, it breaks glass? So can the same thing happen with mechanisms in a little tiny 94-year-old clock that starts ticking all of a sudden when it hasn't been for several days? I mean...
Well, here's what my guess would be. Here's what my guess would be. The mechanism is perhaps a little bit weaker than normal, and so it had not actually unwound all the way. There was still a little bit of wind in it, and but it had gotten stuck, and literally the resonance, the energy pattern from your sneeze, created enough of an energy shift in it to loosen whatever that little jam was in the winding mechanism, and it played out its last 10 minutes. That would be my take.
Right.
So, yeah,
so
resonance.
That's
energy. Yeah.
Yeah, so it just, you know, as God does, gives us one more piece of the puzzle to help each of us individually with what we need to have that aha moment, that little revelation that, oh, so listening to all this resonance talk, you know, and thinking, okay, yeah, I really kind of understand. Okay, yeah, and you get so many visuals and great stories. But then when something like that happens and it's right by your face and you know you haven't wound that thing in it, and I go, and I knew that it was the high in my sneeze coming out of my mouth, and it's like, oh, my goodness, that is just so clear of the resonance. So I just wanted to, get a confirmation or not of that. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, you have a blessed one, everybody. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Thanks for your participation. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org